Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
The word that we studied last week called wait. And this concept of wait is actually the Greek word for expectation. It means that you expect something from God. And one of the things the Lord's laying on my heart about you and this church in our prayer time is that we need to begin to expect great things from God. Amen? And come here expecting things from God. Now, I want to tell you where I'm going to go over this Wednesday and next Wednesday, and I won't get very far tonight, but there are 9 elements of expectation. I'm going to read them to you again. The foundation of expectation is desire. The focus of expectation is people. The time for expectation is now. The source of expectation is God. The means of expectation is believing. The emotion of expectation is joy. The mindset of expectation is peace. The blessings of expectation is overflow. How many of you want to live in an overflow? I believe God wants you to do that. And the fuel of expectation is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you, if you will, to go to Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and I want to talk about the first one. The foundation of expectation is desire. I believe God is wanting to lead you to a greater element of faith. You cannot have faith without expectation. If you want more faith, you must be more expecting. And if you want God to do something great in your life, you have to expect good things from Him. How many of you believe God is a good God? Now, if He's a good God, we must do good things in the marketplace and in our employment, like Titus 3 and 8 talks about. We must be good in the city, and we must be good at work. But part of that goodness that we talked about Sunday is actually this concept of waiting, expectating. That's not a word, but it sounds good. This expectation that God is real. And so the person who chooses to live life to the full. How many of you want to make that resolution with me tonight? You want to live life to the full. The person who lives life to the full needs to nurture a heart that is full of expectation. If you want to live life and live it to the abundantly of what God has called you and given you the possibility to do, you've got to learn to live in expectation. You've got to change your heart. You've got to change your expectation. Many of you have this expectation that you're just going to get by, or that God is just okay and He's good to everybody else, but He's not good to you. No, let me tell you something. God is good to everyone, or He's not good at all. And so Sunday morning, I'm going to give you a prayer for your family. And it's called the expectation prayer. And I want to start praying it on Sundays and Wednesdays before we start. And so I want you to help me pray this prayer, this expectation prayer tonight. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. But I want you to begin to pray and ask God for something good for you. Somebody say amen. That God wants to give you expectation. He wants to give you... I'm trying to find it right here. He wants to give you a prayer. I want you to pray it with me. Let me give you the words right now. I want you to say, Lord, I believe You are good, and You desire to release into my life wonderful, unimaginable, miraculous, great, and mighty things. Today I pray with large expectations by the power of the Holy Spirit. Enlarge my vision, increase my faith, and secure my future. Would you give God a hand clap of praise if you prayed that over your life and you believe that? Part of expectation is the first of 9 laws. And the first law is the foundation of expectation is desire. I've often heard it said that you get what you expect. And so my question to you is, are you expecting God to heal you, or are you expecting just to get through without healing? Are you expecting God to be good to you and to pave your future and to clear out the obstacles, or are you expecting to have problem after problem? The truth is that if you want, how many of you want a new level of expectation? Then that is an issue of desire. You know, I desire a Diet Coke really bad right now, all right? But the desire that I have after spending a week in the beginning of this week in hours upon hours in prayer overrides my desire for Diet Coke. You can put a Reese cup right there right now, and I'm liable to hurt someone. But if you put God on the other side, I'm choosing God because I'm that hungry for Him. Amen? It's about the desire. You see, our expectations in life are based on the God of hope. And so when you look at the word expectation, and I'm not going to write it in the Greek tonight, not least here, but expectation, you're actually talking about hope. And remember, you cannot have expectation without faith, but you have to have expectation before hope ever arrives. And so the truth is that our expectation is based on the God of hope. We're not hoping in something that doesn't exist. We're not asking for someone to help us that is not real. We are asking for a real, touchable, tangible God to do something for us. And so what we understand is that the law of expectation demands that if I want to expect good things from God, that foundation of expectation is simple. It is desire. In other words, if you want a new level of expectation in your life, the foundation is desire. And let's talk about that just for a minute. In other words, you need to understand in Romans chapter 5, verse 13, go there. It says, may the God of hope, the God of hope. That's really interesting because that word is kind of tied. Let me write this down. That word is kind of tied to this Greek word. And I'm going to show you something which is really interesting. This is how you spell hope in the Greek. Epistis. And what's so interesting about that is the root word for faith. So if you have faith in God, you have hope in God. It's rooted together. These two words kind of go together because the word pistis is actually the Greek word for faith. And so he says, may the God of hope. I love what the Message Bible says. Anyone got a Message Bible? The Message Bible says, oh, may the God of green hope. May the God of green hope. In other words, I'm not hoping on a dead tree to come back to life. I'm hoping on a living evergreen. That's why Christmas trees are evergreen, because Jesus is everlasting. Amen? And so my hope isn't in some kind of magic or mystical experience. My hope is on really in something concrete. You're not hoping against hope. You're not in faith standing alone, but you're hoping that God is going to hear you when you pray, and you're praying as if you know He hears you when you pray, and you're actually hoping. That word hope actually means in the original language to hope with a desire. In other words, I'm not hoping for revival. I know God's going to give this church revival. I'm not hoping for healing for people in this church. I know God is going to heal some people in this church. I'm not hoping for new jobs in this city. I know God is going to bring new jobs to this city, in this region. I'm not hoping that you're going to listen to what I preach Sunday morning about going into the marketplaces and beginning to use your employment as your ministry. I know many of you are doing that, and more of you are going to do it this week. Somebody say amen. In other words, my hope isn't in something that's ludicrous. My hope is in a real, loving, true, almighty, powerful, omnipotent, omniscient God. Somebody say amen. And I get excited because when I talk about hope in God, it's not like I hope so-and-so shows up. You can't trust man. They'll let you down every time. Well, I hope the Democrats act right. Well, you might as well hope on something else. Or I hope the Republicans act right. You might as well put your hope in a donkey somewhere else. But when you put your hope in Jesus Christ, He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Somebody say amen. And so when you hope, I want you to understand this. When you hope in God, you are not hopeless. You're hoping in something that is real. Somebody shout real on a Wednesday night. Real. And so he says, now may the God of hope, that word hope in the original language doesn't mean, this is fascinating, because that word hope actually comes with the word desire. Do you realize it is absolutely impossible to hope in God and not have a desire for God? Amen. And so this word says it's hope with a desire that some good with expectation to obtain it. Do you realize what I just told you? And if I don't get anything else out tonight, I'm happy as a lark tonight. I'm just in a good mood anyway. Amen. Do you realize that when you are told in the scriptures in Romans 15 and 13 to hope, you are told from the very beginning that you are to hope with a desire that you have a good expectation that God is going to hear you? How many of you got something you need God to answer for you? Well, do you realize this scripture, you need to stand on Romans 15 and 13, says, now may the God of hope, may the God that has desire in the hope of some expectation of fulfilling it, that hope may fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says hope, which is a expectation that you're going. In other words, you cannot hope in God without having an expectation that God is going to hear you when you pray and answer your prayers. It is impossible to have hope without hope in God. Impossible. It is impossible to go to God in hope and not have hope he's going to answer you. Do you understand the simplicity of what I'm saying? It is impossible. Impossible. To go to God in hope and not have a hope that he hears you and a hope that he's going to answer you. In other words, if you were to go to someone you trust and that loves you and they needed you needed their help, you would have a hope and an expectation that they would hear you and they would help you. If Stevie came to me and said, I need something, there's nothing I wouldn't do for him. Same way with any of you. And you're all like that with different people and loved ones in your life. That's the way you're to approach God. You're not to approach God like, well, if you're in a good mood. And you're not to approach God like, well, if you want to. You need to say, if it be your will. And if it's his will for you to have what you're asking for, you've got to go to him with the desire. And that desire is rooted in hope. You cannot take in the Greek desire and move it away from hope. You cannot take hope and take desire out of it. You cannot take hope and remove faith from it. You cannot take faith and have it without hope. The word hope, and boy, that's good preaching. You cannot have hope and you cannot have faith and you cannot have desire without expectation. So you have to have an expectation that God hears you when you pray. We got an elder who's a family member's having surgery tomorrow, and I've been praying for them in hope that they're going to get a good report from the doctor. I mean, what kind of faith do you have in God when you go to God and you already assume he's not going to hear you when you pray? What kind of hope do you have in God when you go to God and you have no expectations that he's going to do anything great in your life? What kind of hope is it when you come in here and you don't have any hope that God's going to move? What kind of faith is it when you ask God for something but you don't believe he's going to answer you? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Oh boy, faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. It is impossible to please God without faith. How many of you want some faith? Can I see your hands? Well, do you realize it is therefore impossible? If it's the scripture's true, it is impossible to please God without faith. It is therefore just as impossible to please God without expectation. Boy, that's good. Do you realize it is impossible to please God without faith? It is impossible to please God without hope. It is impossible to please God without desire, because you can't have hope without desire. You can't have faith without hope. You can't have hope without faith. And you can't have faith, hope, or desire or without expectations. So where does this walk with God begin? You want to sell your house? You want to do different things? I've been praying for an elderly lady to sell her house for several months now. I'm believing that God is going to sell that house. How many of you believe that? But you got to go to God in faith with hope that he's going to answer you. What does that mean? It is impossible to go to God without a desire that God, that desire, that passion for something that God is going to hear you when you pray. So if you want to get to the place in your walk with God where you've got expectation, I'm looking forward to the day, and we're on the helm of it right now, and you hear me and write it down. I'm looking forward to the day that the spirit of expectation is so high before we start a church service on Sunday mornings or Wednesday night, you can hardly contain yourself. You want to know why? That's not in me. That's not in our deacons or elder board or any of the other things we're doing. It's in God and Christ alone. And when you understand who you're serving and you understand who he is and you understand what kind of ability he has, one of the things that I'm getting ready to declare war on in Western Kentucky is this meamy-mandy-pandy non-expectation poverty mentality. You don't have to be a billionaire or a millionaire, but here's the one thing I know. My God has...
agreed to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, and that means health too. And I believe as long as it's not your time to go, you can pray for God to have divine health. You can do your part and eat healthy, and God's going to get behind you because you have faith in God. You have a hope in God, and you have a faith and a hope in a God, which is proof you got a desire in God. And if you got faith in God, you got hope in God. And if you got hope and faith in God, you got a desire for God, and therefore you got the foundation for expectation. Somebody say amen. You got to change your attitude about what you expect from God. That's the worth the price of a mission right there. You got to change what you expect from God. You got to stop coming in here thinking you know what's going to go on, how many songs we're going to sing, and whether or not you can judge what's on the video announcements. And you got to come in here with a desire for God and create a spirit of expectation with faith and hope that moves mountains for people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Good God, that makes the hair stand on the back of my head. May the God of hope fill you. It didn't say put you half full. It didn't say make you kind of temperamental. Some days you're in a good mood of expectation, faith, and hope and desire about God. And some days you don't know where he is. We all go through the days where we don't know where he's at. But it doesn't mean that we're hoping against hope. It doesn't mean that our hope is in something that's carnal. Listen, you're not hoping in a... I've been studying dead gods all day long because I got to preach camp meeting to the state of Kentucky on apologetics. Please pray for me. Preaching to people is easy. Preaching to preachers, I'd rather be a dentist. Somebody say amen. And that's what I got to do. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And I've been studying dead gods all day long. Balak and all of the Balaam and Quran and all the rest of them. I've been studying them. But here's the point about a dead god. They're dead. And one of the things that I read in a book today just kind of startled me, and it was real simple, and it said, what if what you believe is true? What if God is a healer? What if God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? What if God can move your finances? What if God can heal your mother? What if God is still with you? What if God wants to move you? What if God wants to promote you? What if God wants to do what you can't do and give you a passageway into promotion that only God comes from God? What if God can give you favor where no man has favor? What if God can help you and give you the faith to make it through those watery depths of the storm you're passing through? What if God can give you a hope in the midnight hour? What if God can release your chains? What if God can get you out of jail at midnight? What if God can heal your blind eyes? What if God can cause the lame to walk? What if God can baptize 120 with the power of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1 verse 2? What if God is able to do what he says he's doing? What if he's coming back? What if he's the King of Kings? What if he's the Lord of Lords? What if he's magnificent? What if he's powerful? What if... My God, what if he can do everything he says he wants to do and can do? What if he's who he says he is? My God, that'll make me run on a Wednesday night. I don't know if you're supposed to run, but I'm about to. What if he's who he says he is? What if he was born of a virgin? What if he healed the blind eyes? What if he makes the lame to walk? What if he's who he says he is? If he is who he says he is, then he's able to meet your needs according to his riches and glory. The problem is not God. The problem is your expectation of him. You put him in a box. He's just like a concrete god. He's just like the gods of Cambodia and those statues that churn the oceans with the snakes. They're dead. They've never been alive. They were created by man. Paul said, why are you worshiping something created by your hands? Well, you can worship the real, true, living God who's alive. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. What if he's real? What if he is able to do what you said he could do? May the God of hope, I can't even get out of the introduction. What if the God of hope, what if the God of hope, not the God of death, not the God of setbacks, not the God of I can't, not the God of I don't care, not the indifferent God, not the temperamental Greek gods, not the dead rock gods of the Asians, not the Asia minor gods, no, the real living true God, the one, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the lily of the valley, the bright in the morning star, the bread of life. What if he's real? It would change your expectations, wouldn't it? It would change what you ask of him. It would change how you approach him after you've asked. It would change and enlighten the atmosphere with faith, and it would enlighten the atmosphere with hope, and it would lighten the atmosphere with desire. Now may the God of hope fill you completely from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, fill you. How many of you want to be filled with expectation? Lift your hands up in the air. Just say, God, fill me with expectation. God, you're a good God. You got to get that in your mind. You've got to cancel out this negative Western Kentucky religious spirit that says God doesn't care, God's not real, God's not good, and he's out to get you. It's a lie from the pit of hell. He's a good God. Now may the God of hope fill you with what? All joy, not a little joy, not, and you have to realize something about joy. Joy is not a byproduct of happiness, because happiness is a byproduct of what's happening in your life. You realize that when the Bible says that God will fill you with all joy, it means he'll fill you with all joy no matter what the devil throws at you. Do you realize that joy comes in the morning? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. Do you realize you can bury your mother, bury your son, and you can still have joy because you know in whom you serve? Do you understand that there's no way to have a setback when God is on the throne of your life and your desires, your faith, and your hope? And the expectation is in him. He will not disappoint you in the wee hours of the morning. And now no matter how much the enemy fights, joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not contingent upon happiness. Happiness. Everybody wants happiness. I'm going to preach a whole new sermon series on happiness. Happiness. Let me tell you something. You can ask for happiness and you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. But if you ever get a desire for the Holy Ghost, and you ever get a desire for the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, and you ever get humble, and you ever become selfless in a selfish world, and you begin to bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, he'll fill you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet with joy. Joy that's unspeakable and full of glory that the half has never yet been told. Joy that you can stand up and laugh at your enemy and say, you should have killed me while you had me. Joy! I'm telling you, God wants to bless you and fill this church with joy. It doesn't matter who's in power, the Democrats or the Republicans, they're both crooked. It doesn't matter who's in the presidential office, because the White House bows its knee to the Lordship of the King of Kings and the heavenly thrones in the New Jerusalem. Your hope is not hopeless. Your faith is not in a seed that doesn't exist. You're not standing over dirt that has no seed hoping. You're standing over soil in your heart that the Bible says was good soil, good, agatheos, good. And you know what that means? It can produce a harvest. The problem is not God. The problem is that he didn't hear you when you prayed. That's not the problem. The problem isn't that you didn't read the Bible long enough. The problem isn't that you don't have enough of faith. The problem isn't that you didn't pay enough tithes. Oh no, let me tell you what the problem is, your desire. And if you ever get a hold of God to where you desire him as the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul longeth after thee, O God. When you get so hungry for him, you wake up in the morning and you can't wait to talk to him. You go to bed at night and you just can't hardly go to sleep because you're inoculated and intoxicated by the word of God. My hope. What did Paul say? He said, now may the God of hope desire with the good sense of expectation that you're going to obtain what you've asked. My hope, that kind of hope fills you with all joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit and cannot be taken away from you.
All my life, my mama looked at me and said, you get your education, boy, because nobody can take that away from you. Those are the words she used. I'm here to tell you is you get your faith up, you get your hope up, and you get your desires up because ain't nobody take that away from you. The enemy cannot steal your joy. Do you hear me? When you're rooted and grounded in Christ and you are doing what he wants you to do, you're being good in the marketplace and using your employment as a ministry. And when you're letting God you're letting God have your first fruits of your day and you're giving him time every day and walking with him, you can't help but to have joy. You can't help to have joy. You can't manufacture joy. You get a Hammond B3 organ up here and four or five people that know how to turn it on, that ain't going to manufacture joy. But if 1,300 people, forget 1,300 people, if 400 of them start showing up on Sunday with expectation, it'll rock this world and shake you to the very foundation you walk on. If just this group shows up Sunday and with a spirit of expectation that I'm going to worship him because there's no telling what he's going to tell me. There's no telling what he's going to show me. There's no telling what he's going to do in here. He's liable to heal somebody today. He's liable to encourage somebody today. He's liable to call somebody into ministry today. He's liable to do anything today. You got to come in here with a spirit of expectation. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. I don't care what time it is. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. And here's the thing that I love, Cliff. And peace. Peace. What two greater gifts could God give a human being than to be filled with joy and peace? Peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, the half that has never yet been told. I'm talking about Holy Ghost joy. Holy Ghost joy. And peace. What could come your way that joy and peace in the fullness in your temple not overcome? I heard a story today about a woman, true story, who died of cancer. And the pastor went by to visit her before she died, and she says, I want this song, and I want you to preach from this scripture, and I want it to be this long. And always remember, the preacher doesn't determine the length of a funeral, the family does. It's a good little point for you to know. And she says, I want you to make sure my family, I want to be dressed in this dress. And she's kind of like my grandmother. My grandmother had her dress laid out, how she wanted her hair, the whole nine yards. And the preacher said, okay, and prayed for her, the saint of God, and he got ready to leave. He says, oh, just one more thing, preacher. He said, yes, ma'am. She said, I want you to bury me with a fork in my hand. He said, excuse me? She said, yeah, I want you to bury me with a fork in my hand. He said, why? He said, you know all those dinners we have at this church? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, my favorite part of that dinner is when someone looks at me and says, don't put your fork up yet. Which means there's something about to come that's better than what you've had. And she goes, I want to die with a fork in my hand. I want everybody to know that what's to come is better than what I had. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. That word, fill you up, actually means to make full, particularly a vessel that's hollow. And many of you need filling up tonight. Where it talks about filling you up with peace so that you're believing, expectation, hope, faith, desire, you're believing lives filled with, I love this. This is what the Message Bible says. With the life-giving energy of the Holy Ghost will brim over with hope. In other words, notice how many times the word hope is there. It's the same word. So the writer didn't have to do this, but he did it. And when you look at it in the English, it really gets exciting because everything I've just preached to you since we started, you need to take it in times and by two. Because it started with that kind of hope. And then he says, this kind of hope wants to brim over, overflow in your life. Whew, my God, let it happen. Not only does God want you to live your life with a spirit of expectation, which requires faith, which requires hope, which requires a desire. Because desire is the foundation for expectation. If you don't expect anything from God, let me assure you, you will succeed. And the one thing I've learned about God is God is not a show-off, but he loves to bless his children. He loves to bless his children. And so what you find is that you cannot separate desire from expectation. And Psalms 20 and 4 says, may he grant you, go to there, Psalms 24. May he grant you according to your heart's desire. May he grant you according to your heart's desire. Remember that sermon I preached on body, soul, and spirit, that series, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. Your soul, which is where your heart, your intellect, your mind, and your emotion, and your will resides. May he grant you, may God grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Let me assure you that if you ever learn your purpose, so I don't know what my purpose is. Go to Growth Track. That's why it exists. And if you ever learn your purpose, you can pray that purpose to God, and God will fulfill every request you give him. If you pray in faith with expectation, hope, and desire. Psalms 37 and 4, take a look at that one. Psalm 37 and 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, a lot of people say, especially TV preachers, that that means that he'll give you all of the luxury items you want. There is nothing wrong with luxury things as long as God stays your number one luxury. Do you hear me? Amen. As long as God stays your number one luxury, he wants to bless you with luxuries. I have no problem with that. That is definitely God. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The problem is, I think God is looking for people to bless that will not abandon him after they get blessed. And that's hard to do. And so the Bible tells us that, let me show you something. The Bible literally is saying to us that desire plus hope plus faith equals expectation. How many of you would like to create a new level of expectation in this church? Let's start on Sunday and Wednesdays. Can I see hands? That we don't know what God's about to do. We're never, let me tell you, I don't know how big we get, how rich we get. We are never going to abandon the Holy Ghost in this church. Do you hear me? We're never going to be ashamed of that. Can I get an amen? Not that I need it, but I'd like to know where you stand. Desire plus hope plus faith equals expectation. And so what is expectation? It's fixing your eyes on the promised blessings with an eager anticipation of its arrival. And so desire means you long or you hope for something. You wish, you want, you crave it, you covet, you're passionate, you have an appetite for it, you're thirsting for it, you resolve, you have a resolve for it. It implies a strong intention. It's longing for the unattainable. That's what desire is. I'm longing for the unattainable. But here's the point. If you stand in front of Balaam and you desire things from him, good luck. You're going to leave disappointed. Like Anthony just said, you're going to be very disappointed. But if you ever stand in front of God and you desire him, you will not leave. You will not leave. You will not leave disappointed. Because your desire now has potential. Your desire has potential. If you hope in Balaam's ass, or if you hope in Korah, or you hope in Cain, or you hope in Balaam or Isil or any of the other gods of the Bible, Diana, if you hope in them, I've seen their ashes. I've stepped on top of their heads. I have rubbed them. I have touched them. Let me assure you, they're nothing but rocks. They're nothing but rocks. But my Bible says God's train fills the temple. My Bible says his presence covers the earth. And so when you hope in God, you hope in Christ, it is not unattainable. You're not hoping against hope. You're not desiring against desire. You're not in stupid faith. You're not even in hyper faith. You're in real faith. Do you realize that God has the ability to do what you want him to do in your life according to his will? Whew. You got to crucify those sinful desires and realize 2 Corinthians 7:11 says, "For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, in all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter." Repentance equals desire and zeal. Maybe that's been the problem. Because if repentance equals desire plus zeal, then maybe that's not the problem, and that's not the problem. The lack of this is the problem. I'll tell you a funny story, and I got to close, but it broke my heart. Had a little course correction with Aiden. He got those big old brown eyes, and he's been doing some things in the last week and a half, and it's been a great opportunity to teach him the theological concept of repentance. To ask God to forgive you of your sins. He looked at me and said, "Daddy, what's repentance?" And I says, "When you do things wrong." And you have to realize we had this deep, deep discussion last night. And I mean that sincerely. It's so funny because he looks at me and he says, "We're talking about the thing he did wrong." And I said, "Aiden, I don't get it. Right here, right here, right here, right here." I said, "You tell me that you want to serve God. And your behavior has to match up with that. But sometimes we all make mistakes, so you have to repent." And he cried, had those big tears rolling down his eyes. And he said, "I don't understand it. The devil makes me do it." "Daddy, the devil makes me do it." But do you realize when and God taught me the lesson about grace again, because he just wept over grace, not judgment. But he also realized that we're all broken. And that only through repentance, God wipes our slate clean as if we never done it. Amen? But the problem is, guys, if you don't keep your pipes clean, and you don't ask Christ to forgive you daily. It's not an issue of salvation. It could be. Because that's how apostasy starts and that's how it finishes itself. But if you'll learn to be a good repenter and keep your walk with God fresh, that repentive people who live lives of repentance, I'm talking about fear, I'm talking about healthy repentance. God gives you the desire and the zeal for expectation, to expect great things from him. And the reason that the devil wants to fill your life full of sin and keep you from repenting is that he wants to take away your desire and your zeal. But if you ever learn to repent, your desire and your zeal will explode. Somebody say amen. Now let me read you a couple of scriptures as a close. The foundation of expectation is desire. Desire plus hope plus faith equals expectation. The scriptures say to us in Psalms 20:4, "May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose." So your purpose and your heart's desire. The Bible doesn't promise you all the luxuries in this world. He does promise you that he gives man the ability to make money. He gives you the ability to be successful and prosperous. But when it says he gives you the desires of your heart, it's actually saying to you that when you delight yourself in the Lord, when you desire him, he'll give you the right way to feel about his will. So when you're close to God and you're repentive, you've got a life of repentance, you keep that pipe clean and strive for sanctification, walk in grace and imputed righteousness. And what God does is that when you walk with him, he starts giving you the right way to feel about life. And so if you delight yourself in the Lord, you desire, you hope, you have faith, you have expectation, then what happens is through a clean set of pipes, that's the easiest way I know to explain it, or unrepentant Christians is like a window full of mud. And repentant Christians is like Windex that wipes that glass clean. If you live a life of, you live a dirty life, it's going to be hard to see God. But if you live a life that repents quickly and keeps that window clean, it's going to be easy to see God. And when you live a life of repentance and you embrace that, not through legalism, because you're saved by grace and your righteousness hasn't been imputed. In other words, Christ input it in you. Not your righteousness, it's filthy rags. But you have a responsibility to live a sanctified life. Second Peter says, put on sanctification. You put it on like a garment. It's the Greek word for putting on clothes. That you have to realize that if you ever get to that place to where you start delighting yourself in the Lord, do you realize that God promises you that he will come down and in you, know you not, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that he will begin to give you the desires according to the purpose he has for your life. So when it says delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, it's not talking about a Mercedes. And if you've got that kind of money and it's in your budget and you're a tither, God bless you, and that's what you want, ask him for it. But at the same time, you have to realize it's not about things. It's when you delight yourself in the Lord and you have a desire for God full of faith, hope, and expectation, then he will automatically come inside of you and make you feel the way you're supposed to feel. And you got to be careful with the word feelings, but make you feel the way you're supposed to feel about his will for your life. In other words, let me make it simple. If you're wondering if you're called to Uganda to be a missionary, and you better pray hard, and you say you know your call, because I got friends, let's use this. I've got a friend that's called to be a secret missionary in Turkey. He's there right now. He had a desire to go to Turkey. He had a desire to learn the language. He had a desire to be a missionary to the most dangerous people on earth. He had a desire to move his family there. He had a desire on how he wanted to go about incarnating the gospel in the Muslim world. He's there right now. If it were not God's will, God would not have given him that desire. You have to be careful with what I'm about to say, but the desire is the confirmation when you're walking right with God. As long as it doesn't negate Scripture, don't say, well, I have a desire to marry this guy, and he's not saying, baloney. God's not going to call any of you to do something contrary to his Scriptures. Scripture is the final authority. Amen? But when you love God and you have a desire for God, he'll give you the right way to feel about the things that he wants you to do. And if he doesn't want you to do something, you're going to have an uneasiness, an unpeacefulness about it. You're going to have a scratchy feeling that I don't know about this. I have a friend that is praying about moving because he's involved in a denominational system. That enough is a to pray for him day and night. But we were talking about different places that they were talking about wanting to place him. And one of them came up and I said, you know, and I called his name. I said, I don't feel good about that. And I'm close enough to be able to speak into his life and hit him into mine. And he says, you know what? Neither do I. But I keep sensing that God wants me to go here. And he named a state. And he said, six ministers have called me in the last month and said, we're praying you come here. When God has his will for your life and you delight yourself in God, he'll work out his will in your life by giving you the right feelings about his will. So when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart, which means he will make your heart desire the right thing for you according to the purposes. How many of you'd like to get anything out of that? Amen? Well, let's close in prayer because I am not barely out of the introduction. Psalms 10 verse 17 says, Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. Psalms 37 and 4 said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's exactly what I'm preaching about. Psalms 78, 29 says, so they ate and were all filled, for he gave them their own desire. Psalms 145, verse 19 said, he will fulfill the desires of those that fear him, and he will also hear the cry and save them. Proverbs 10, 24 says, the fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. Proverbs 13 and 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's like a tree of life. Proverbs 13 and 19 says, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an admonition to fools to depart from evil. Who in the Bible had a strong desire? Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, Ruth, Simeon, Anna, Paul. And every one of them had a strong desire with high expectations. Do you know how much expectation it takes to leave your family in the city of Ur and move from Ur of the Chaldeans and go to a land that doesn't exist? What is God speaking to you tonight about? What does God want from your life? Let me make something abundantly clear. He wants to give you a new level of expectation and for you to start expecting more from him, not less. Because he's not afraid of your request. He's just waiting for someone who loves him enough with enough of desire so he can pour out his blessings on your life. How many of you got anything out of this tonight? Amen. Heavenly Father, would you lift your hand so I can bless you, please? Father, as the shepherd of this house, I bless them with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I bless the men with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the ladies with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Father, let this be a blessed house. Let this be a house of prayer. Let this be a house of evangelism. Let this be a house, God, of great expectation. Lord, we'll never follow miracles, but I ask you, God, to fulfill the expectations of this house and give them a new level of expecting something great for you on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have a great
night. We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.